3. You look like hell.
Alucard's words rang through her head, the only thing he'd said that morning when she wished him luck.
You say the sweetest things,
she'd grumbled before escaping into her own tent. But the truth was, Lila felt like hell. She hadn't been able to find sleep in Elsor's room, so she'd gone back to the wandering road with its cramped quarters and familiar faces. But every time she closed her eyes, she was back in that damn crate, or on the balcony with Kel. In the end, she'd spent most of the night staring up at the candlelight as it played across the ceiling, while Tav and Lennos snored. Who knew where Vasri was? And Kel's words played over and over in her head. She closed her eyes, felt herself sway slightly.
Master Elsor, are you well?
She jerked back to attention. Easter was fitting the last of the armor plates on her leg.
I'm fine, she muttered, trying to focus on Alucard's lessons.
Magic is a conversation. Be an open door. Let the waves through.
Right now, she felt like a rocky coastline. She looked down at her wrist. The skin was already healing where the ropes had cut, but when she turned her hands over, her veins were dark. Not black, like the Dane twins, but not as light as they should be either. Concern rippled through her, followed swiftly by annoyance. She was fine. She would be fine. She'd come this far. Delilah Bard was not a quitter. Kel had beat the Veskin rule by only 2 points, and lost to her by 4. He was out of the running, but Lila could lose by a point and still advance. Besides, Alucard had already won his second match, securing his place in the final 3 alongside a magician named Tos Anmir, one of the famous Ferowen twins. If Lila won, she'd finally get a chance to fight him. The prospect made her smile.
What is that?
Asked Easter, nodding down at the shard of pale stone in her hand. Lila had been rubbing it absently. Now she held it up to the tent's light. If she squinted, she could almost see the edge of Astrid's mouth, frozen in what could be a laugh or a scream.
A reminder, said Lila,
tucking the chipped piece of statue into the coat slung over a cushion. It was a touch morbid, perhaps, but it made Lila feel better, knowing that Astrid was gone and would stay gone. If there was a kind of magic that could bring back an evil queen turned to stone, she hoped it required a full set of pieces. This way she could be certain that one was missing.
Of what? Asked Easter.
Lila took up the dagger hilts and slid them into her forearm plates.
That I'm stronger than my odds, she said, striding out of the tent. That I have crossed worlds and saved cities.
She entered the stadium tunnel.
That I have defeated kings and queens.
She adjusted the helmet and strode out into the arena, awash in the cheers.
That I have survived impossible things. Rule stood in the center of the floor, a towering shape. That I am Delilah Bard.
She held out her spheres, her vision blurring for an instant before she let them go.
And I am unstoppable.
Kel stood on the balcony of his room, the gold ring on the rail between his hands, the sounds of the stadium reverberating through the metal. The eastern arena floated just beside the palace, its ice dragons bobbing in the river around it, their bellies red. With the help of a looking scope, Kel could see down into the stadium, the 2 fighters like spots of white against the dark stone floor. Lila, in her dark devil's mask, Rule, with the steel face of a canine, his own wild hair jutting out like a ruff. His pennant was a blue wolf against a white ground, but the crowd was a wash of silver blades on black. Hostra stood behind him in the balcony doors and Staff by the ones in the bedroom.
You know him, don't you?
asked Hostra. Stassi and Elsor?
I'm not sure, murmured Kel.
Far below, the arena cheered. The match had started. Rule favored earth and fire, and the elements swirled around him. He'd brought a handle and hilt into the ring. The earth swirled around the handle, hardening into a rock shield, while the fire formed a curving sword. Lila's own daggers came to life as they had the day before, one fire and the other ice. For an instant, the two stood there, sizing each other up. Then they collided. Lila landed the first blow, getting under Rule's sword, then spinning behind him and driving the fire dagger into the plate on the back of his leg. He twisted around, but she was already up and out, readying another strike. Rule was taller by at least a foot and twice as broad, but he was faster than a man his size had any right to be, and when she tried to find her way beneath his guard again, she failed, losing two plates in the effort. Lila danced backward, and Kel could imagine her sizing the man up, searching for an in, a weakness, a chink. And somehow she found one, and then another. She didn't fight like Rule, or Kisimir, or Jinnar. She didn't fight like anyone Kel had ever seen. It wasn't that she was better, though she was certainly fast and clever. It was just that she fought in the ring the way he imagined she did on the streets back in Grey London. Like everything was on the line. Like the other person was the only thing standing between her and freedom. Soon she was ahead 6-5. And then, suddenly, Rule struck. She was rushing toward him, mid-stride, when he turned the rock shield and threw it like a disc. It caught Lila in the chest, hard enough to throw her back into the nearest column. Light burst from the shattered plates on her stomach, shoulders, and spine, and Lila crumpled to the stone floor. The crowd gasped, and the voice in the gold ring announced the damage. 4 plates.
Get up, growled Kel as he watched her stagger to her feet, one hand gripping her ribs.
She took a step and nearly fell, obviously shaken, but Rule was still on the attack. The massive disc flew back into his hand, and in a single fluid move he spun and launched it again, adding momentum to the force of magic. Lila must have seen the attack, noticed the stone careening toward her. Yet to Kel's horror, she didn't dodge. Instead, she dropped both daggers and threw her hands up instead of her forearms to block the blow. It was madness. It wouldn't work, couldn't work. And yet somehow, the rock shield slowed. Shock went through the crowd as they realized Stassi and Elsor wasn't a dual magician at all. He had to be a triad. The shield dragged through the air as if fighting a current and came to a stop inches from Lila's outstretched hands. It hovered there, suspended. But Kel knew it wasn't simply hanging. Lila was pushing against it, trying to overpower Rule's element the way she had with his. But he'd let her then. He'd stopped fighting. Rule, momentarily stunned, now redoubled his efforts. Lila's boots slid back along the stone ground as she pushed on the disc with all her force. The arena itself seemed to tremble, and the wind picked up as the magicians fought will to will. Between Lila and Rule, the earth and disc shuddered. Through the looking scope, Kel could see her limbs shaking, her body curved forward with the strain.
Let go,
he wanted to shout, but Lila kept pushing.
You stubborn fool,
he thought, as Rule summoned a burst of strength, lifted his fiery sword and threw it. The blade went wide, but the flame must have snagged Lila's attention because she faltered just enough, and the still-suspended rock shield stuttered forward and caught her in the leg. A glancing blow, but hard enough. The 10th plate shattered. The match was over. The crowd erupted, and Rule let out a howl of victory, but Kel's attention was still on Lila, who stood there, arms at her side, head tipped back, looking strangely peaceful, until the moment she swayed and collapsed.